We can expect flight cancellations well into the summer. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. American Airlines and Southwest are extending flight cancellations into August. These are flights that would have been on Boeing 737 MAX jets. This adds up to 275 canceled flights a day right through peak summer travel season. Meanwhile, Boeing says its engineers are working nonstop on reprogramming software that would make its jets safer. Marketplace's Renata Sago has been following this. Renata, why are the airlines cutting flights so late into the summer?
These airline companies are all about taking precaution right now. Southwest has the largest fleet of 737 MAXs. American flies a decent number of the jets, too. Neither company wants to put those planes in the air, though, without first being assured that they're safe. And that's going to take some time. Boeing CEO said last week the company's engineers have already run 100 test flights with updated software. But the fixes will ultimately have to get approval from regulators, which could take some time.
So what could happen in the meantime if there are all these flight cancellations?
These cuts are happening during a peak travel season. Passengers could experience delays. Airline companies could raise ticket prices since they'll be able to accommodate fewer passengers. And because they might end up flying older planes that use up more fuel. We could also see carriers cancel more flights past August. So far, the percentage of passengers affected by the grounding is small. It's about 4% of Southwest customers and 1.5% of American passengers.
Marketplace's Renata Sago, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.1%. Dow and S&P futures are up in the 0.1% range, and NASDAQ futures are down less than 0.1%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.56%. It is finally here, tax day. Not just any tax day, but the first under the tax overhaul law that was signed by the president in late 2017. The tax law, among other things, lowered the corporate tax rate, cut taxes for a majority of people, and got rid of a lot of deductions you might have taken in years past. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has been covering it all, and she's here for a debrief. Good morning.
Morning.
People have been wondering about this for a year, right? What are the refunds like? So what do we now know?
I can tell you what's happened as of April 5th. That is the latest data we have from the IRS. We know that the average refund is down by about 1%. The total number of refunds is down by about the same. And also the total dollar amount is down by about $6 billion. But there are still about 40 million more people who'll probably file by April 15th. And so things could definitely change.
What has been the general expectation? People's refunds would go up or go down?
Yeah, there was an expectation that refunds would go down. And that's because, you know, in the U.S., we pay our taxes as we go. Your employer takes the money out of your paycheck, sends it to the government on your behalf. And when the new tax law passed, the IRS told employers to take less money out of their workers' paychecks because the majority of people were getting a tax cut. And so the idea was, we'll give people their tax cut up front. But then the thinking was that maybe they'd overshot a little bit, especially for some people, because the tax law also got rid of a lot of the deductions that you'd take at tax time that might get you a really big refund. And so the IRS was telling people, check on your withholding, you know, make sure you're having enough money taken out. But the IRS doesn't give us one really important piece of data, which is how many more people owe money this year versus last year.
What about politically speaking? I mean, this was a big success for Republicans in Congress when this was passed. How do you think it's playing for them?
You know, it's been a concern for the GOP how the tax law is playing, because there was this idea at first that Republican candidates would be able to run in the midterm elections with the tax law as proof of a job well done, you know. But then the response to the law from taxpayers was sort of lackluster. People got their tax cuts in their paychecks, and a lot of them either didn't notice because the amount was too small, or they saw the amount and they just weren't impressed by it. And so the tax law wasn't polling very well. And last year, before the midterm elections, the Republican National Committee in an internal memo said it had lost the messaging battle on the tax law. There have been some recent efforts to market the law. The Council of Economic Advisors has been talking about the economic benefits of the tax law a lot this year. And the White House is actually calling today, tax day, tax cuts day.
Okay. All right. Back on message. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Not everyone gets a chance to study the economy in school. Anyway, who doesn't need a brush up? Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that we hope is smart, accessible, and hopefully even a bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that, we think, is good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. Thank you.
Netflix has earnings out tomorrow, and in those earnings, we are likely to see more cash. Over the past few months, the company's 58 million U.S. subscribers have started to see monthly price increases of $1 or $2 for different plans. Netflix has had its hits, from tidying up with Marie Kondo to Orange is the New Black, sure, but raising prices in a crowded market? Bold move. Marketplace's Erica Barris has more.
When Netflix announced the price hike in January, it said increased revenue would go towards making more shows and movies. Kevin Sandler teaches media studies at Arizona State University.
If you're going to raise your price, you need to justify that price with quality. And it's not simply quantity.
And there's competition out there, like Amazon Prime and Hulu, soon Apple TV and Disney Plus. Some people may sign up for several services. And while they might not notice paying a couple of extra dollars for one service, Sandler says,
when you add it all up together, is it going to be worth it for the consumer?
It may not be, says Michael Greeson, who researches consumer behavior. He says Netflix may lose subscribers. At $6.99, Disney's plan will cost less than what Netflix offers. And Greeson says with competitors entering the market, subscribers
may be more susceptible to dropping out because of the availability of free services.
So this price hike may prompt consumers to ask themselves if their streaming services spark joy. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.